Blog Talk Radio.
One night, Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn and with the greatest of care. Something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. And kindly point that gun the other way and holler, holler, holler up and hit the hay, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all." Kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in. And hobble, 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 hobble with your chin, 'cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay. Ground to dig and worms to scratch. Thanks a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens, done. Nobody at all. So quiet yourself.
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, or FM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Ceres.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Well, once again, welcome to The Backstory. We've got a lot of backstories to talk about today. It's amazing what differences there aren't in backstories. What happened 20 years ago and what happens today? Does history repeat itself, or do people engage in the same activities that were successful for them 20 years ago? And Kevin Valenz article today in the Modesto Bee is the really backstory about that. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's talk about what the mayor wants to know. What do we like or dislike about Modesto? Many opinions and chances and chance to let mayor know. Well, that's good. It's 5:30 Thursday, Modesto Center Plaza. Not in the apparently not in the city council chambers, but it's you know, I'm trying to think of an adjective. I'm thinking of an adjective to describe what these meetings are about. And I'm trying to come out with something that's polite. But they're going to have a meeting, and they're going to be asking you what it is that you want, what you feel, what you think, what you like, what you don't like. I guess I'll just go ahead and say it. It's a waste of time. Think about it. This is a waste of time. It has nothing to do with actually making Modesto lovable. It has mostly to do with an outfit called Management Partners, a consulting firm. The cost, incidentally, was not available. It's interesting, Kevin. Management Partners interviewed council members and other top city officials and held two roundtable discussions to gather input for the strategic plan.
They sure do an awful lot there. I've got a three-inch binder with management partner reports in there.
Yeah, they run cities. They literally run cities. They send people out. They recommend city managers to be hired. And, of course, they charge a hefty fee. But, you know, 20 years ago, there was a project called the Visioning Process. And every month, the mayors of all nine cities would meet with a representative of the Board of Supervisors. And at that time, it was none other than Lynn Dickerson, the publisher of the Bee. And we would all meet in the conference room of the Modesto Bee and go through the visioning process. And the whole deal was, what do we want Modesto to look like 20 years from now? Well, the 20 years are here. I'm not prepared to say that Modesto looks like anything what we were envisioning 20 years ago. And I recall at the time when I first became mayor, this visioning process had been going on for 2 years at least, and the other mayors that had been there for the 2 years were getting tired. Tired of meeting. Actually, we had a facilitator. His name was Tom Van Groningen. Tom went on to serve on, or was serving on the MID. There didn't seem to be much conflict of interest then, or that was pointed out. But he would facilitate, and I think he charged. I forget the time period, but it was $45,000 was what I looked up at the time. I guess at the time I took the attitude, well, this isn't going to do any good, but it also is not going to do any harm other than postpone what needs to be done today, what we should be directing our attention to today. Well, so what they've done is now they've given an anonymous survey that included questions about which council district survey takers live in. Do you know what all this information is used for? You know by now. Elections are coming.
Oh, okay.
It's 2020. It's time to...
But you know, but only 698 people responded to this thing.
Well, worse than that, their meetings were comprised of, what, an average of 10 to 15 people. Who the hell are they talking to? Worse than that, how much money is management partners going to get? Well, I'm going to try and get there at 5:30 Thursday. I encourage you to go and see what kind of show they put on for us. There was another survey taken this one was in 1999. And that was taken by former Mayor Dick Lang. And that survey was specifically geared survey to bring forward a political election information. They even asked what your party affiliation was.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. Here's a survey. Yep. Are you Democrat or Republican? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, I snitched. Of course, I was a candidate at the time, and I snitched and I said, well, how much is this survey costing? It was done by a friend or a former campaign manager for the mayor. And I recall, I think the price wasn't too hefty. I think it was something like $20,000. Actually, that survey, that deception, caused a great deal of outrage
in
the community.
Citizens?
Yeah. Yeah, and the bee played it straight. And so the outrage was able to occur. Well, I'm hearing rumors. Now, first of all, before we go any further, Thomas Reeves, he's a spokesman for the city, and he says, this is what we're pleased with here in Modesto. We're satisfied with the music, the art, and the theater. I like that. That's number one. They like our water and wastewater services. I don't know. They like our online services. Okay. Service from city employees. Okay. And number five, city parks and recreation. Okay. That's likable stuff. As long as you keep the homeless out of our parks. If you'll do that, that's fine. How about if police are city employees, how about response time? That was number four. Are we happy with response time from our public service agencies? I'm sure the fire department gets an A in that category, but other agencies, not so much. Our online services, once again, it's politically useful, but I think a great example of political services, Dave, is you know the train that everybody was on, taking that train to Sacramento? Chiesa was on there, public
awesome.
Officials, yes. Oh, this is great. Where'd they go? That trip has been canceled.
It has been?
Oh, yeah. They only had 44 riders or something like that. So we don't have that service anymore, despite the stars of our county and cities riding on the train telling us how great it was. Well, you can't run a railroad with 44 people. The other one is the city's water and wastewater services. Okay. I'm not sure our water is up to the quality. Anyhow, that's what we like. Well, we also like a whole bunch of other stuff. We like marathons, walkathons, bowlathons, any event that will shut the downtown down for a while. Remember, we used to have X-Fest. You know, people wonder what's happened to downtown. What's happened to downtown is that you've trashed it for 20 years. It's literally been trashed. You've locked it up. You've rented it out to special interests. Right, Chris Ritchie is, he had Extreme Fest. And I remember the first year I talked to him. The city let them have the whole downtown for $12,000 a year for the event. I thought that was cheap.
That is.
And I told him, I said, you're getting a good deal here, Chris. Well, it grew and it grew. Nobody ever knows how much. Chris Ritchie, when we started pressuring him for the cost to the county and the city to provide protection for this event, we had a situation where the sheriff And I guess Chris Ritchie, because he went along with it, but Chris Ritchie said, oh, we pay for all that protection. And the sheriff says, no, they pay us $10,000. So you write a check out for protection of the sheriff's department.
You probably couldn't get a security service for that amount.
No, you couldn't. With the horses and everything. All right, so now, what are we least satisfied with? Number one, of course, is the homeless problem. We are least satisfied with what we do. Well, first of all, let's just say we're never going to be satisfied. We don't want to see them. We don't want to see them. Hide them wherever you can. Isn't it ironic that after their stint at Beardwood Park, we threw them under the bridge? And that's an old expression. You know, throw them under the bridge. That's where we put garbage. I'm not going to be critical about the homeless problem. It's maybe insoluble. It just doesn't seem to take any effort that we put forward. Maintenance of city trees. Yeah. Nobody likes that. I don't know what it would take to cut mistletoe out of our trees. But our trees aren't maintained. 20 years ago, we had a great forestry department. I mean great. It won. In fact, we used to be called the Tree City. And we won an award in 55. Number three, blight. Well, okay. Anything that is reality that is not pleasant to our eyes, we are not satisfied with, and we shouldn't be. Okay? What we're saying is that it exists. Traffic lights. Well, 20 years ago, we spent $195,000 to have all the traffic lights, not all, but all timed, okay? I think it was $195,000. And then after that, it was timed by a company, Sultan. Some city staff decided to tinker with it. And so that threw the timing off for the whole project. Traffic lights. I don't have too much complaints about traffic lights, but I can see where people are dissatisfied if they're caught by too many lights. And then they're not satisfied, of course, with gang prevention efforts. Well, how can you work on gangs when your gang impact task force, as headed by former Sheriff Adam Christensen, is their funds are taken away from the gang projects and turned over to Christensen, who turns them over to the district attorney so that she can prosecute defense attorney Frank Carson and his other. That they're not gangs. We got, you know, we've got one guy, and maybe Thursday night, Ted Mayor. I'm sorry. I'm going to submit a question on a card, telling you that we have one guy, at Esto PD, who's on the investigative team, and we pay him, I think, $172,000 a year. And what does he do? Well, he hangs out with the that team is made up of sheriffs, city police, and they say FBI. I don't know how many FBI are involved, but on the witness stand, Adam Christensen admitted that he took resources from the Gang Impact Task Force and devoted them to the Frank Carson case. Well, there's another item that Reeves talks about. Let's see, what do we have? What are our strengths? He says, well, we're affordable. We have a good location. We have community engagement. We have weather and diversity. That's all pretty good. Even the community engagement. Although the engagement is centered around problems, about areas where there are few problems. How many of you have driven over to the airport district? Take a ride. Go see how the other half lives. Go see the mounds of garbage, dead animals.
No sidewalks.
Oh, no sidewalks. Dead animals, needles, kids playing. We interviewed a guy, I guess he's given up, Ron Dafford. I haven't heard from him in a long time, but he took that on as a crusade for a while. And they literally threw him out of the city council chambers. He said, don't come here and complain anymore. Well, he was relaying the story that a guy, I guess a worker, said, well, if we clean it up, it'll just be dirty again in a month or so. Well, then you clean it up again. I don't understand. Well, I do understand that the six districts in this city do not get the same amount of money out of the city budget. And actually, the survey goes down through the districts, and you can tell. Let's see. The survey takers were evenly distributed among the six council districts. Council District 3, which is the college area, was overrepresented. That means more people involved, and that means that the college area is well kept up, well enforced. The neighborhood is engaged. And when they talk about Love Modesto, they're not talking about Love Modesto. They're talking about Love the college area. Okay? And it's all right. I mean, it's where they live. And what they're interested in is that around where they live, they want it livable. So we'll love the college area. Now, we don't love the airport district. Nobody does. But they don't get the same amount of money for their district. Then, and you know why? It's because they don't vote.
Really?
They don't vote. So, District 2, that would be the South and West Modesto, was underrepresented. That, I think, would be Tony Madrigal. Area. Reeves reported that 27.7% of survey takers live in Council District 3, college area. Now, you used to be able to, before district elections were brought in, out of 7 members on the city council, you'd have 5, maybe 6, that lived in the college area. They just lived, and they could do that. Problem was, and that's why they opposed district elections so much, problem was that after district elections came, you had to live in the district that you were running. So if you were running for District 2, you had to live over the southwest side. And so that sort of separated and gave theoretically, the council more diversity. So now Reeves says that the council results are going to come before the city council in May or June. The high-level themes from the survey have lined up for the most part with the public comments from the meetings, get this, held in each of the council districts. He said those meetings drew as many as about 24 participants. As many as 24 people. Mayor, you want to listen to 24 people about what goes on in this city? Worse yet, some of them were 10 to 20. So you want to get into a room with 10 to 20 people and have these people tell you how to solve the problems of this city, or even tell you what the problems of this city are? I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, they're going to come then with this strategic plan. But once again, the meeting is not in the government room. It's not in the chamber. And I wonder if it's because maybe in the Center Plaza, it won't be televised.
Oh.
They're tricky people.
That would be something you would want televised, of all things.
Well, they do things like that. I think we told you yesterday about the fact that if they don't want the council to vote on something, they hire a consultant for less than $50,000. And this way the city council doesn't have to vote. And then the next year or whatever, they'll raise the contract to $150,000 or whatever it is that they want to raise it to.
They're going to raise the amount that they can spend?
Well, no, then the council knows.
Okay.
The whole trick there is don't go over $50,000. We can hire the consultant and we can do all this work underground.
$49.99.
Below the radar.
$49.99. Famous.
So that's it for today. We also wanted to talk to you tomorrow about the editorial in the paper today. Police need better training to reduce deadly force incidents. Read that. It's by Kathleen Calgary. And we'll be talking to you tomorrow at 11. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mayor.